Alrighty, can you all hear me? Yes? Okay, great. For those of you who might not recognize who I am Liz Canto. I'm the Director of Faith Formation and Evangelization here at St. John the Baptist. I'll just give like a quick bio of me because I'm going to be sharing a few things with you. But I am a cradle Catholic, so I was born Catholic, raised Catholic, and I've been Catholic for my entire life, which is about 30 years. When I was in high school, I had a huge conversion, or I guess you could say reversion, after a hot moment of questioning my faith. And from there, I just wanted to learn more. And so when I went off to college, I studied religious studies. So it's almost like theology, but from a different perspective, because where I went to college didn't have theology. But that wasn't good enough for me. So when I graduated college, and after doing a year of service, where I lived in LA for a year, I wanted to dive even deeper. And so I got my master's of theology through the University of Notre Dame. So a lot of what I'm chatting with you today about is a lot of things that I have learned while I was in class, and I'll be sharing a few things there. But then with my degree and my program that I did, they ultimately sent me here to Utah. So I'm not a native Utahan. I'm a transplant. I actually only came here because my graduate program told me to come here where I would work for the church, but the church pays for my degree. And then after I graduated, I loved it so much, and I loved this community so much, and Father Tilly liked me enough that he hired me. So I've been here I'm ending my fifth year here, so I'm really excited to be working with y'all this year. So that's just like a very high level thing of my life. But I want to go ahead, and if you can't already tell, I'm going to be talking about prayer. I know Kira had talked a little bit about prayer earlier today, and how it's like one of the big pillars of our faith. But I will specifically talk about what is prayer, how do we pray, and then what are the different types and forms of prayer. So I want to ask you all a question. What is prayer? Like, how would you describe prayer is? Feel free to just shout it out.
Conversation with God.
Conversation with God. Anything else? There's no wrong answers. Yes.
Conversation in general. Thanking you for all your blessings.
Thanking him for all the blessings.
Asking.
Blessing. Well, all good answers. Let's actually look at what the saints have to say. So if you have like this little half sheet, this is something that I have created of all these different saints have said about prayer. Prayer is nothing else but union with God. That's St. John Vianney. St. Therese of Lisieux says, "For me, prayer is a surge of the heart. It's a simple look towards heaven, and it is a cry of recognition of love, embracing both trial and joy." St. Isidore says, "If man wants to always be in God's company, he must pray regularly." St. John Damascene, apologize if I mispronounced you, sir. Prayer is the raising of one's mind and heart to God, requesting good things from God. St. John Chrysostom says, "Prayer stands before God as an honored ambassador. It gives joy to the spirit and peace to the heart." Again, St. John Vianney also says, "Prayer is honey that flows into the soul and makes all things sweet." Again, he also says, he really has a lot of things to say about prayer. "Prayer is the inner bath of love into which the soul plunges itself." So with all of that in mind, plus also all the things that you said, we can assume that prayer is a time in which we can encounter God. It's a moment in which we can respond to God, we can rest in God's presence, we can praise God, we can intercede or pray on the behalf of someone, we can meditate on our salvation, we can thank God, ask God for things, And we can also meditate or reflect on how God moves in our lives. It is all focused on building up and engaging in a relationship with God. Through a long and loving look at each other. So it doesn't just have to be about asking things. And I'll talk a little bit about that in a little bit. What is prayer? So we have what we call rote prayers. So it's like, that's just like a fancy word of saying written prayers. So those are like the Our Father, or the Hail Mary, the Susape prayer, right? The Jesus prayer, the Glory Be. There's all these other different prayers that you commonly hear people say. Someone said it, prayer is conversation with God. There's a whole bunch of devotionals, such as like praying the Rosary, or Lectio Divina, or the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Stations of the Cross. That's like when you, like, if you go into the church and you like walk along the sides, you'll see like a whole bunch of like images of like Jesus holding a cross and like what were his movements during his passion up until like he got crucified and died and was laid into a tomb. If you come to church on Fridays in Lent, like, we actually meditate and we pray and we do Stations of the Cross together as a community. Adoration. So that is, like, if you come here tomorrow on Wednesdays from 6 o'clock until 7:45, that will be a time in which Father Tilly will come and expose the monstrance, which is just a fancy word of, like, a throne, where the Eucharist, Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, is placed in, and it's like a fancy word for throne. And so that's a moment in which you can rest in his presence, meditate, pray, go to confession, pray the rosary, end the night with Liturgy of the Hours, the Compline, which I will talk about another way. That's also another devotional. But there's also an opportunity where you can even just come to the church and then behind the wall, like, you know, we're in the church where Jesus is, the big crucified body, behind that wall is an adoration chapel. And so you can be able to open up the tabernacle where there's a monstrance and you can pray. You can adore God. There's also adoration. Again, I just talked about adoration. But there's petition, intercession, thanksgiving, praise. These are different ways or form frameworks to pray. There's three types of, like, prayer can be divided into three different types of categories, which is vocal prayer. So that is any rote or traditional prayers, or prayers that you use your voice, whether it be, and I'll talk a little bit about that, but like written prayers can be prayed individually in a community or even in the silence of your mind, meditation. So that is like an examine. So that's really big with Ignatius spirituality, where you examine God's movements throughout your life or throughout your day. There's the rosary, where you pray a lot of Hail Marys together and you meditate on specific scripture verses. Again, Stations of the Cross, imaginative prayer, Lectio Divina. There's also contemplation, which is the hardest type of prayer. And I will talk about these three specific types of prayer in a little bit. But before I talk about that, I want to specifically talk about the Psalms. So the Psalms show us how to pray and enables us and teaches us how to approach God. So the Psalms are written in a poetic language where written by David and Solomon, and they use a lot of metaphors and imagery that usually deal with like water or plants. But it ultimately shows us how to pray. It helps us to lift up our hearts to God, and we can place our intercessions into prayer. Each psalm indicates how we can talk to God and how he can respond. If you go and dive into the psalms themselves, it's divided up into a bunch of different stanzas, and it could be, like, one stanza could be you talk, like the psalmist, so that could be you talking to God, And then it could be another stanza or even a moment in between each of those stanzas where God is actually responding to you. If you look at all of the different psalms, not all of the psalms are the same. There's different psalms. And it shows you that there are different ways in which you can talk to God. Like Psalm 23 is one of the more famous psalms, but it has, oh my God, you are my shepherd, I shall not want, I believe. But that is a famous psalm that we pray all the time in which we praise God. Psalm 16 is all about trusting God and finding security in our relationship with God. But our life is not always sunflowers and daisies and rainbows and ponies. Sometimes you might be going through something and you might be feeling anguish or you might be feeling angry, and that's okay. But so like there's Psalm 88, which is one of the most despairing of psalms that we have, where the psalmist, the person, is experiencing a deep anguish and a sense of feeling forsaken by God. Or there's even Psalm 102, which is a psalm of finding prayer or talking to God in a time of distress, like an emotional or physical suffering, but you are ultimately able to find hope and comfort in God. Psalm 63 is, again, finding comfort and assurance in God's presence. The Psalms of David are, like St. Augustine says, the Psalms of David are the Psalms of our hearts. The Psalms themselves teach us that there's no pit in our lives that the love of God is not present. This is the reason why we repeatedly pray the Psalms. So when you go to Mass and you hear the responsorial psalm, it's pulling from the Psalms. That's what we meditate on, we pray on. If you do Liturgy of the Hours, so that's the divine office. That's what all of all of the religious life, they pray, you probably heard the scripture verse, like, pray unceasingly. And so the Catholic Church created what they call Liturgy of the Hours, where Father Tilly, Father Paul, all of the priests throughout the world, all of the deacons, religious life, they all pray five times a day. And that's their way of one way in which they pray unceasingly. But it's a moment in which they actually dive into the Psalms and pray from scripture and from the Psalms and meditate and pray about their day. And the Psalms show us that God's love for us is written so deeply in our hearts. So if you want to know more about the Psalms, I would recommend meditating on the responsorial psalm of the day or even diving into the Liturgy of the Hours. St. Augustine also says, in Jesus Christ, the Psalms become flesh. They take on a form. And you can hear it through in Psalm, 23, you hear the words, into your hands I commend my spirit. When do you hear that in the church? Who says it, other than obviously the Psalms? Christ, Jesus Christ cried this while he's on the cross. He's echoing the Psalms. St. Augustine also says, he's really well-versed when it comes to the Psalms, but he says the whole of Christ is united with the faithful in prayer through the Psalms. When we pray the Psalms of lament or confession and confusion, it is Christ who prays with us and in us to the Father. Again, he has this other quote, if the Psalms pray, you pray. If it laments, you lament. If it exalts, you rejoice. If it hopes, you hope. If it fears, you fear. Everything here written is a mirror for us. So the next thing I'm going to talk about, I know Kira kind of also talked about it as well, but it's specifically about the Mass and the liturgy. Prayer and the liturgy is at the heart of a Catholic faith-filled life. Mass itself is one gigantic prayer. And when Father Tilly the priest processes down, what is the first thing he says? Pop quiz, you'll learn about this later in a little bit. But what does he do?
In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We normally bookend our prayers with the sign of the cross. It is one huge prayer that is steeped in the Word of God, capital T tradition, and ultimately culminates in the reception of God through the sacrament of the Eucharist. Again, re-echoing the psalm, like after hearing our very first reading, we again meditate and pray the psalm together. The Mass itself is not just an experience of prayer. It is not something that is specific about us or any particular religious group, but it consists of the body of Christ. It is a prayer of the total body, so you use all of your senses. You see things happening. You smell things. So if you come to Mass in the morning, Father likes to have incense, so you are able to smell what Jesus Christ smelled like. You get to hear things. You get to touch things. You can touch the pew. You can touch the hand of the person next to you when you give the sign of the peace. You can touch the Eucharist if you want to receive this way and he's like placed on your hands. You can taste things. You'll taste the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. But there's a certain restraint to it. We don't give ourselves over to the beat of the drums or our own passions. Like, there's a specific structure for it. We are invited in the Mass, in the liturgy, into a space of contemplation where our affections can arise, but we aren't forced into it. Every single thing that we do, all the actions, all the postures you have. When I was growing up, my youth group used to call going to Mass like the Catholic workout, because you know you do a lot of kneeling, you do a lot of genuflecting, you do a lot of bowing, standing, sitting, repeat. But each posture itself has underlines or reinforces the actual meaning behind those actions. That we are taking part in our worship. So like when we're genuflecting, which is, you know, like this, when you kneel, and usually people do the sign of the cross, that is a gesture of obedience and humility, and that's normally done in the direction of the tabernacle where Jesus resides. So that is a moment in which you are recognizing that is Christ there resting in the tabernacle. It also references the scripture verses in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 23, and again in Romans chapter 14, verse 11, where you hear, "To me every knee shall bend." When you stand during the liturgy, it's a sign of respect and honor. So that's why we stand when, like, Father and the liturgical ministers and the altar servers, like, walk down the aisle and they process in. This posture, which was instituted back in the earliest days of the church, has been understood as a stance of those who are, quote, risen with Christ and seek the things that are above. We stand in our full stature before God in a humble gratitude for the marvelous things that God has done in creating and redeeming all of us. When we sit, that's the posture of listening and meditating. So when we sit, we normally sit during the readings, except for the gospel when we stand. But that's a moment in which you are learning, you're receiving the word of God. You kneel, that posture usually is common in public prayer and adoration of the Blessed Sacrament of the Eucharist. It's a sign of reverence. In the early church, kneeling was actually, in public, was actually a penitential act. And I know we'll talk a lot more about like what happens in the liturgy in the future when we start talking about masses, the Mass. But like during the Confiteor, when you hear like, "Through my fault, through my fault, through my grievous fault," you will see a lot of people beating their chest. That is a moment in which we recognize our own sins and what we have done. When we bow our heads during the creed, during the words, "By the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, became man," The bowing of our heads signifies our respect and gratitude for Christ. All of this, all of the things that we do in Mass, we hear in Mass, slowly forms us into a life of prayer and allows us to meditate and reflect on God's our self-sacrificial love of God, like his love for us. Any questions about that? Okay, great. So types of prayer. I know I kind of talked a little bit about that. But we have vocal prayer, meditative prayer, and contemplative prayer. Vocal prayer is the most common form of prayer. It's said out loud in a group or on your own, or even in the silence of your own heart. Those are normally rote prayers, which is the standardized version of prayer that creates a sense of unity and continuity. Can't speak today. There's also meditative prayer. It's a moment in which you can speak to God from your own heart, and you focus your mind on God and the way he moves throughout your life. Examples include the rosary, imaginative prayer, visio divina, lectio divina, the examen, or even the Divine Mercy Chaplet. Contemplative prayer is when you simply just rest in the presence of God. You let go of your imaginations, your thoughts, and your emotions. It is the moment in which you just sit, rest, and you look at God, and he looks directly back at you. And it's all done in love. This is the hardest form of prayer. All religious, everyone says it's the hardest, because at the moment when you're trying to do contemplative prayer, how many times are y'all like just trying to sit and just like sit in silence, but then all of a sudden you have, oh my gosh, I think I left the fridge door open, or I need to go and like leave now to go pick up my son from school, or like from this extracurricular, or I have to go to the grocery store because we're out of cheese. Like those are like, it's hard because you're just simply sitting and like resting and looking at God while he looks back at you. There's nothing else. It is very hard, very hard. And then within vocal prayer itself, there are six expressions of prayer. Those are blessing, adoration, petition, intercession, thanksgiving, and praise. I think I have a handout that talks a little bit about those, which I can't find. Never mind. But my next question for you is, how do we pray? We've heard a lot about prayer, but how does anyone know exactly how to pray? There's no wrong answer.
From the heart.
From the heart? Yeah, that works too. Remember, like, reminder, like, prayer is all about encountering God and building up our relationship with him. I know Kira said, think of your friendship with God. Do you, like, if you're afraid to use the metaphor of texting as a mode of prayer, like, if you just text someone 1 hour a week, would that be a good friendship? I'm just seeing silence. if you just put it off of, like, okay, like, I'm just going to grow in my faith, but I'm only going to go to Mass once a day or once a week for an hour. Do you think I'm building up my relationship with God? Do you think I'm getting to know him? Because he already knows me, but do I know him? No. But if I talk to him on a regular basis, like every day, multiple times a day, I know Father Tilly talked about it this weekend, like, I'm really bad at trying to stick to a schedule, so I have to set the most annoying alarm to remind me to pray every day. And half the time I ignore it, and then Kira comes up to me and says, no, like, you should probably pray, I heard your alarm. But, like, ultimately, in and of itself, like, prayer is communal, and it can also be a very personal thing. But ultimately, like, there's a lot of different ways that you can align your heart to God. It can take 1 minute, 5 minutes, an hour, or even just a something as small as 30 seconds or 2 seconds to align your hearts to God. God has given us tools for us to grow in relationship with him. Like, heck, he had Jesus, his son, teach us how to pray. He gave us the Our Father. But technique cannot be the only, or tools cannot be the only way to pray. Prayer is not an obligation, but ultimately it is a moment for transformation. That is the reason why we go to Mass every Sunday, or Saturday night if you go to the vigil. That's why we start our weeks with Mass. That's why we receive the sacraments. That's why we start this class with prayer. That's why you usually pray before your meals. Like, it's a moment of transformation. Prayer is not simply just us reaching out. It's just us reaching out to God, but it doesn't have to just be three words. Like, St. Therese calls prayer a surge of the heart. St. Augustine says it's nothing but love. St. John Damascene says it's a raising of our mind towards God. It is ultimately a launching of ourselves. I want you to kind of think like a cannonball, you know? Like, you are in the cannonball, and prayer launches you to God. You know, like, you launch yourself, you launch your heart towards him, and he will always receive you with love and with open arms. If we are people of faith, we are people of prayer. Prayer does not have to be perfect. It just has to be authentic. Set a meeting with God. I know I just talked about it, but, like, I have to set an alarm to remind me to go pray, because prayer is very important. And never miss your meetings. Like, you can put it into your schedule. Like, if you are one of those people who are like, okay, I need to make sure I follow the schedule to a T, like, you can put it as, like, set a meeting. Like, set a meeting with God. Like, start your morning with God. Have lunch with God. I don't know. Whatever works for you. And then with time, by building that into your schedule and your routine, you will have your meet with God. There are a whole bunch of devotionals, like the rose. Again, I've talked a lot about these, but, like, we have the litanies, the novena, we have the Lord's Prayer. I also created this handout for you. It's in the back, but it's the frameworks of prayer. So if, like, you were like, I have no idea how to pray, or, like, where to start, this can help you. So there's three different frameworks. We can start with ACTS, like ACTS, like an acronym. So you can start with adoration. So you can like in adoration, where you focus on God's character and his attributes. You can praise him for who he is and express your wonder at his greatness. You can then move into the confession, where you acknowledge any sins or shortcomings that you have, and you can seek forgiveness from God, aligning with him on areas that you might need to change or improve. Maybe have him help you with those things that you might want to work on. T, Thanksgiving, where you can acknowledge any sins or express any gratitude of God in your life, or the people that he's put into your lives. Supplication, it's a moment in which you can present your requests and needs for God, both for yourself and for others, where you can trust in his wisdom and guidance. So that's ACTS. You can take a trip with God. I know that that's very popular with Kira, where you can thank God for your blessings in your life. You can repent for things that you're sorry for. You can mention the things that... any intentions that you want to pray for, and you can petition God, where you can ask him for things. What was it, last weekend? Kira and I learned about pirates, where you can acknowledge, so you can, like, in prayer, you can acknowledge, like, ask yourself, what's going on? What are you feeling? Put it in front of God. Where you can share these things with Jesus, where you can relate with him, talk to him as if with a friend. You can receive, where you can, like, listen to what Jesus is telling you, and what does he want you to do with whatever it is that you're bringing to him. And then you can ultimately respond in gratitude. Is there anything that he's asking you to do? Like, what are you feeling called to do or called to say? That's just like a quick handout I made for you. And then I wanted to talk specifically about seasons of prayer. This is something that I have recently come to learn, that your different moods can reflect your seasons of prayer. So whatever type or mode of prayer that really resonates with you now does not have to be the end-all be-all. Like when I was first learning about or like really getting into my faith, the only thing I really went to prayer about was praying for intercessions. Like I'm constantly asking God for things or I'm constantly praying for other people. But then I got exposed to adoration in a moment where I can just like sit and rest in his presence. But then that called me to do something more where I wanted to learn more about what is that he's saying. So I transitioned from adoration. Like adoration still holds a deep part of my life and my spiritual prayer. But I felt called to meditate on his words through Lectio Divina. But then Mass started to resonate with me, and I spent a lot of time going to daily Mass and then just coming to Mass and just like coming early, preparing my heart for Mass, going to Mass, and then staying in the pew for like a long time just reflecting on things. But this is just kind of like my own personal prayer timeline of like where I have been moving in my own ways. But like having a diversity of prayer can also help you to grow spiritually. One of the last things I wanted to talk about was that when we were created for prayer. Life is all about learning how to pray. There's never, you can always, I don't know, level up, I guess you could say, in like learning how to engage in prayer. The very purpose of us as humans is to know God and to love God in return. Then the purpose of our life is prayer. One of my priest friends told me that the best way to pray is your way to pray. It has to be done out of love and not obligation. St. Francis de Sales tells us, everyone needs at least a half hour, 30 minutes of prayer each day. And in the moments when we are finding excuses or we say that we're too busy, those are the moments that we need an hour. The moments that I have found myself saying, no, I got too much stuff I gotta do, I'm gonna put prayer off, cough, cough, when my alarm goes off. Then Kira comes and tells me, no, like, you should probably pray. I normally mentally say to myself, please, Lord, help me be super efficient. Those things that I had figured would take me about 2 hours, and the moments that I stop and I pray, I find that I get things done that's supposed to be about 3 hours in like 2 minutes. Prayer is very, very powerful. And I want to end one of my things before I forgot to share something with you, is that if we are people of prayer, or if we are people of faith, we are people of prayer. Prayer doesn't have to be perfect, it just has to be authentic, and it has to be with God. Since I already shared my timeline with you, when I was in grad school and I had learned about the Psalms, I had learned about how, like, it's just a way for us to engage in prayer and teaches us how to pray. One of the things when I was in grad school was we were challenged during a retreat to kind of write our own psalm. And so I wanted to share my psalm that I had written when I was, I don't know, 3 years ago. But this is what I had written. It's a little long. We also learned about calligraphy and the significance of that. But I guess I can go ahead and read it out loud for you. And then I'll just end with that. But it starts with, O God, come to my assistance. I'm in the desert of my own making. Bring me the water I desperately seek. Wilting and weathered, I search for that water. Bring me out of this desert so that I may bloom with those in the rainforest. Why am I stuck in this desert, searching for every last drop of water? Why so burdened, longing for a place not planted with purpose? Place trust in God, for he brings water, should you ask for it. Like a white orchard, I entrust my watering to you. With every sprinkle, I will bloom brightly, standing tall and firm in the desert.
And the faith that we love so much. And we ask your Holy Spirit to go home with every single person and open their hearts and open their minds and what they heard and any questions they have, to give them the courage to come and ask them so that we can help them grow in love of your church. Ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Amen.
I will also accept, if you're living out this way, I will accept your name tags. Okay, then you're good.
Thank you.
Awesome.
So this will call out that purple book, and then in a moment,
You're memorable.
In October is when we talk about these pages in the red book.
Okay.
Yes, of course.
Thank you.
Do you know how to log in to the parish account?
To the what?
He was trying to get on the phone, but he can't figure out, and I believe that on the computer.
It says that he's logged in.
He said for account, but that he just didn't pay subscription.
Oh, I have no idea.
Do you have any more of those little sheets that show that Michael made to show how to?
We have it.
Okay.
We can just do it on here at
home.
That's how it works. Yeah.
Pictures, yeah. It says like click parishes, and I was like, something that says that. So.
Yeah, what I got too, it had me put in my zip code.
Okay.
And that's how I found it.
Okay. Can we do the zip code for here?
Yes.
It says that on the sheet.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Let me know if it doesn't work.
Sounds great.
Okay.
Liz? Yes, ma'am.
Nice enough to email me back the other day, and I don't think my forms made it over to you.
Yes,
we are.
Yay, thank you.
And the journal entries in there as well.
Okay.
You sent me over this. I can fill all of this out, but I wanted to make sure. Is this going to be
What days do you normally come?
Any priest.
Friday might work. I might hear something in my personal calendar. I'm glad they're doing it Fridays now.
I'll actually be Friday evening because my husband's in the 7 p.m.
Is this week?
I have to go and meet with like 4 people.
Okay.
So I'm just going to abandon all of this.
Okay. No problem.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to give these $3 for.
Okay, great. Hi.